I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. You who attend this church, Bread of Life Christian Church, many of you are aware of the fact that the first Chinese services that I believe were held in this building were held when God put it upon our heart, along with Sister Ling Ling, who came a few times with us before I ever got to know Andy, Pastor Andy, that this would be a place on the plateau where Chinese would hear Jesus. And now I see that God in His time and His plan has placed the congregation here at this church. He's also placed other believers in other locations here on the plateau. And the Chinese believers on the plateau of Issaquah, Washington, are alive and well. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is moving by His Spirit up here. And I rejoice in that. Because before that took place, there was a vision in my heart. And others shared the same vision, that God wanted to have a strong ministry for the Chinese here in the plateau. That's why you're here today. Because God has raised up this church. He's brought to you leadership to do the work of God. So I commend you for being in church. I commend you for being in church today on Father's Day. And I have not forgotten that it's Father's Day, and my theme is going to be somewhat in regards to fathers. But I believe you'll find it's a different approach to fatherhood than what you would expect. I'm going to take you to the Father, but in a different way. First of all, I'd like to see the hands of everybody here who has a father. Oh, everybody raised their hand. Now I want you to answer me this question. And I'm going to get out here because I like to move around a little bit when I share. My voice carries with this acoustics. I want to ask a question of all of you. And I want you to answer me all at the same time. And you won't say the same thing, but I want you to give the right answer. I'm going to ask you to tell me the answer to the question, what is your father's name? Everyone right now, in unison, tell me, what is your father's name?
Never.
I didn't hear some of you. Don't you have a father?
Yes.
What is your father's name?
Never.
Oh, different names from all of you, right? How many fathers are here today? Raise your hand. Stand up, don't be ashamed of being a father. Clap for the fathers right now. Amen, you may be seated. Most of us, if we're asked the question, what is your father's name, we give an answer. And if I were to give you the answer, my answer would be, my father's name is Joseph Ira Hammersley. My grandfather's name was Joseph Ira Hammersley. My older brother's name was Joseph Ira Hammersley. So I am not Joseph Ira. I am Richard. I was the last born in my family, 10 children, 8 boys, 2 girls. But the name Joseph Ira is very important in my family line. Earthly genealogy is important. Amen? You know, we should think in terms of where we came from an earthly standpoint. Now some of you, to mention the name of your father doesn't bring happiness to you. And I won't look at your countenance because I don't want to have you, through your reaction, show me sadness. But sometimes the mention of father does not bring joy. Because many times fathers become disciplinarians in the family. The mothers are the ones who are with the children in the home. The fathers are involved in different types of work and business. And so the mother many times will say to the children, and these are the terms we use in the United States, when your father gets home, I'll let him take care of you. And so in the minds of the children is a picture of a father who's going to administer discipline. The one who will be the one they have to answer to, if you please. And so, the most popular holiday is not Father's Day. It's Mother's Day. Because mothers are always thought of nurturing and loving the children. Fathers are many times thought of as disciplining the children. Is discipline necessary? Yes, it is. The role of a father in a home is extremely important. The father is to be the head of the house, the head of the family, according to the Word of God. But with the leadership role of fathers, many times there are relationship problems with sons and with daughters. And I would venture to say that in this gathering of people today, there are those who don't have good memories of fathers. I sat for a breakfast time just before our early morning service with Nancy in a restaurant. And perhaps this didn't come to her mind, but I looked at the young man that was sitting next to us by himself, ordering breakfast. And he looked old enough to be a father. I don't know whether he was for sure. But he ordered his breakfast and he sat alone at a table. And I thought to myself, he's going out for Father's Day breakfast, but he's not with his family. He's alone. Circumstances, events have estranged him from his own children. Perhaps divorce, at least separation. And on this Father's Day in 2005, I want you to know that we would not have to go very far around this Issaquah neighborhood before we would find fathers estranged from children with no relationship. Now in this passage of Scripture that I want to share with you, I'm taking a different approach to fatherhood. And the occasion for these words of Jesus are the time when we get a glimpse of Jesus at the age of 12. You know, you don't get many pictures of Jesus in the Word of God in the early years of his life. In fact, we just see him when he was presented at the temple by his parents. And then after that, we see him when he came for the purpose of celebrating the Passover to Jerusalem. But these glimpses are important. And this is what we find, that as they had been there in Jerusalem celebrating the Passover, Joseph and Mary with their company began to go back to their own city. And all at once, parents, in this case Joseph and Mary, found out that Jesus wasn't with them. Now that's panic time for parents. I've seen that happen in stores here in King County. I watched a mother who frantically looked for a 2 or 3 year old who had wandered off in the midst of a store. I think it was Sears. And there was announcements made all over the announcements, the public address system, trying to find this little child who had wandered off. You see, when you don't know where your children are, and they're maybe in strange circumstances, it brings concern. And that was the case of Joseph and Mary. They were the earthly custodians of Jesus. And so when they did not find Jesus with them, they hurried back. And when they came into where Jesus was, they found him in conversation, in discussion with the leaders of the synagogue. And I'm sure that when they walked in, that they didn't have a smile on their face. In fact, they probably had a long face, ready to speak strongly to Jesus, to the effect of saying, "Why have you dealt with us this way? This is not the way that you should treat us. We're your parents. We didn't know where you were." And the answer that Jesus gave to his earthly parents was this. Read it with me if you have your Bibles open. 2, second chapter of Luke, verse 49. And Jesus said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Other rendering in different translations would say it in another way. But I want you to notice especially the statement of Jesus. I, personal, very personal pronoun, I, Jesus, must, I have no choice, I must be about my Father's business. What does Jesus say in that statement? First of all, I want you to know that Jesus, as a son, recognized who his Father really was. He did not think in terms of being a carpenter. When he said to Mary and Joseph, I must be about my Father's business, he wasn't saying, Joseph, I'm sorry I let you down, I'm not working in the carpenter shop today. That's not what he was talking about. His concern was not that he had disappointed Joseph, because he recognized that given to him, before he ever ascended from heaven to earth, or descended, was a commitment and a covenant before the earth was ever formed to carry out the will of his Father and to carry out his business here on earth. You see, there was a covenant in heaven. That's why we have a verse of scripture that says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The covenant was that God the Father would give his Son to come into the world to bring everlasting life to those who believed. That was the covenant. Jesus was part of that. Because Jesus existed eternally in heaven with God. He has no beginning and no end. So before the earth was ever formed, Jesus knew what his business was to be because of the covenant he made with the Father to come to earth. And so Jesus says it this way to Mary and Joseph, why did you seek me? Don't you know I, Jesus, must? I have no choice. This is what I must do. I must be about my Father, meaning my Heavenly Father's business. The Father, God in heaven. The business, the salvation of the world. That was what Jesus was talking about. That's what caused Jesus on another occasion, when he was at the well of Samaria. Remember, the disciples had gone in to buy food, and Jesus had stayed behind. And I remember that right here in this church, I preached a message on what was Jesus' food. I don't think any of you were here, so I can just share the response that I had right in this building. It was when we were having services here before, and we had a group of teenagers sitting in the back row here, or the second row. And I said, what is Jesus' food? I said, as I looked at them, I said, it was not Big Macs at McDonald's. And they all laughed. The food of Jesus, as he was there with the woman by the well, was not the food that the disciples went into the city to buy. In fact, they came back and they found Jesus talking with the woman at the well. He was sharing with her the message of the water of life. He knew that as far as she was concerned, she had made many, many mistakes in judgment. In putting in more blunt terms, she had sinned against God. She had been married several times. She also was not living with a man that was her husband. And so the weight of past mistakes was upon her shoulders. She was a sinner who had transgressed the law. And in that transgression, she had great consequences in her life. The consequences were not joy, happiness, peace. The consequences were to come every day and draw water and put the buckets over her shoulders and carry them to family. But there was no joy within her life, only sorrow. But Jesus came, and as he engaged her in conversation, the disciples came back, and they persuaded and said, Jesus, you need to eat. What did Jesus say? He said, I have food to eat that you don't know anything about. My food is to do the work that God has sent me to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. The motivation of Jesus was to do the will of the Father. his Father in heaven. Now all of us are affected by earthly fathers. You know that I have a son that I talked to on the telephone this morning. And my son desires to be in Malaysia. He was over there about 2 or 3 months ago. He's having some physical problems in his life, and I would ask you to pray for him. He needs a healing. He's only 45 years old, but he's having early symptoms of Alzheimer's. And this is because that he has had several major blows to his head. When he was 7 years old, he was hit by a truck. When he was in high school, he was playing football, and he got a very serious brain concussion. And then when he was in Malaysia about 2 months ago, he fell in the bathtub, went into unconsciousness, and had many stitches at the back of his head. So he has some brain injuries. They're taking an EKG to find out the extent of them, but it's resulting in him having, right now, some seizures and momentary lapses like Alzheimer's. I don't share this to invoke pity, but that's my son. That's my firstborn. What do I want my son to do? What would I prefer? What would give me the greatest joy as a father if my son were right now in Malaysia with me every moment I'm there? He wants to be. He wants to serve the Lord there. He would be there not to follow my footsteps, but because I'm his father and I do ministry there, he would be doing ministry. And I would have great joy in that. Every father kind of thinks, you know what? I have a family business. I want my son to take it over when I'm no longer doing it. You see, fathers have plans for their children. That's natural. Some of the plans are not God's plans. They're just earthly father plans. But Jesus knew that his heavenly Father had a plan for him. And so Jesus did not tune in to the carpenter father Joseph. He tuned in to the heart of his Father in heaven. And he said, when he was questioned, "Why don't you want to eat? I've got food to eat that you don't know anything about. And that is to do the will of my Father in heaven." That's what it's all about. Now how does that relate to us this Father's Day 2005? You see, the covenant that Jesus had with God the Father before the earth was ever formed was a covenant that we become part of because of relationship, first of all, with Jesus. But also, we have relationships from an earthly standpoint that go back to the promised seed of Abraham. We know that Adam and Eve were the ones in the garden. We know that there was destruction of a flood and only the sons of Noah and family were saved. But we also recognize that a covenant was made with Abraham. We read about that covenant in the 17th chapter of Genesis. Turn with me there for just a moment. Genesis chapter 17 talks about a covenant that God entered into with Abraham. It's good for us to rehearse this covenant in our hearts and understand it. There's many verses that I could read, but I just want you to know that God spoke clearly, beginning with verse 1, chapter 17, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, "I am Almighty God, walk before me, be blameless." And notice the second verse. "And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly." A covenant between God and Abraham. Very personal. A covenant that also had requirements. And that is that Abraham was to walk before God in obedience. Obedience that had to be tested. Even the test when he put his own son Isaac, through whom the covenant was to be fulfilled, upon an altar of sacrifice. But you see, when God spoke to Abraham and said, I'm making a covenant with you to bless you and to your seed, he then clarified how the covenant would take place. Now Abraham had children, not just by Sarah, Isaac, through whom the covenant was to be fulfilled, but he also had children by Hagar. Hagar was the mother of Ishmael. Father Abraham was the father. And as far as the Ishmaelites that came from the loins of Abraham, the plan of God was that the Ishmaelites would be a blessed nation, and that they would be a prosperous nation. And so as we sit here today, we not only know that the Jews have become the apple of God's eye as his people, and they are the descendants of Abraham, but we know also that the Ishmaelites that populate many areas of the world, and especially populate the area where we minister, they are also part of the covenant. Not the seed of promise, but they are grafted into the covenant in a way that I want you to understand. So when God spoke to Abraham, he said, you know, the way you're going to keep this covenant is that every single one of the males that is born must be circumcised physically. This was a covenant in the flesh. A covenant that when Abraham received it, he decided, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to do what God asked me right away. So as soon as God got finished talking to Abraham, he took everybody who was male within his family, all those who were male servants living within his household, and he had all of them circumcised. He was already an old man, but he went through the rite of physical circumcision. But I want you to know what God has spoken to Abraham about this. In verse 21, God has said, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. But notice what he said in verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. I will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But, the biggest but in Scripture right here, but my covenant I'm establishing through Isaac. So now let me just think with all of you intelligent brothers and sisters today. Put your hand up if you think you're intelligent. Oh no. Good for you! How many know you're blessed with intelligence today? Say amen. I want to put a question to you. God said, Abraham, the covenant that I'm making with you is going to be established through Isaac. Then why should he have circumcised Ishmael? After all, Ishmael is not part of the covenant of blessing that was promised as far as Isaac, through whom eventually Jesus would come forth. Ishmael was the son of a bondwoman. And there's no way that physical circumcision did anything for Ishmael spiritually. For the Jews, it brought blessing by obedience. But even physical circumcision to the Jews did not really bring about spiritual inheritance. And so when Abraham circumcised all of the males within his family, including the servant males, and circumcised Ishmael, he was being obedient to what God commanded right then. But you see, it was only a picture of what God had in mind as far as the covenant being fulfilled. The covenant was not supposed to be fulfilled ever just by physical circumcision. If that's the case, then Ishmael had no part in the covenant. But you see, the covenant was more than physical. It was spiritual. The covenant went back again to what took place in heaven before Jesus ever came to earth. And that is that through the work of the Holy Spirit, we can not only be born of the flesh, my brother, my pastor, but we can be born of the Spirit. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is circumcised of the flesh does not bring eternal blessing. But what brings eternal blessing is the keeping of a covenant that results in circumcision of the heart. Now, there's an English Sunday school song that is an action song. A lot of little children love to sing it. And when they sing it, this is what they sing. Father Abraham has many sons. How many know that? Many sons has Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, it goes on with actions. Okay, and if you really sing all of it, you get tired out and you flop before you're finished. Okay? So Father Abraham has many sons. Are they all Jews by birth physically? Do they all have the same lineage as our brother Michael? No, but by God's grace, we are all sons of Abraham and daughters of Abraham. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God, by a circumcision, not of the flesh, but of the heart, we all become sons and daughters of Abraham. Look over into Romans, and that's made so clearly to us. Romans chapter 2. I begin to read with verse 25. Chapter 2 of Romans, verse 25. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you even with your written code, and circumcision are a transgression of the law, when you, even with that, are a transgressor? I follow on to the next verse. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. This is a new understanding, folks, of covenant as it relates to God's children who have been circumcised in the heart and have been made children of Abraham. Do you understand today that you may have been born to Chinese parents? And your answer might have been just now when I said, what is your father's name? Very quickly, a Chinese name of your father. But you see, by spiritual birth, we all have the same father. We all have the same father. It makes no difference the color of our skin, the language we speak, the country we come from. We all have the same father. And by spiritual birth, because of the circumcision of the heart, we enter into the same covenant also that Abraham entered into. And that is the blessing upon all of Abraham's seed. How many know that if you're blessed today, it's because of the covenant that God made with Abraham? Say amen.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The blessing we enjoy today as Abraham's children is because of the covenant that God keeps with his people. Praise the Lord for that. But that covenant with Abraham, which brought blessing through Isaac and brought blessing to all mankind through Jesus Christ, is a covenant that is ongoing. It's a covenant that when Jesus came here to earth, He became the instigator of that New Testament covenant. The law brought death. Jesus came to bring life. The covenant of the law only meant in disobedience and judgment. But the covenant of Jesus, when he came to do the Father's will, was a covenant of heart circumcision. It was a covenant of transformed lives, so that even Ishmaelites, Muslims, who were really not the ones through which the covenant should be fulfilled, by God's grace, when their heart gets circumcised, hallelujah, they become truly children of Abraham. And that's what I'm believing and praying for more and more in the ministry God's given us in Malaysia. You see, just as Jesus said to his parents, "Why do you seek me? Don't you know I have to be about my Father's business?" I feel like I today, my wife with me, are called to carry out the Father's business here on earth. And the Father's business has not changed. It's the salvation of all who believe. It is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is to the Jews, but it's also to the Ishmaelites. It's to the sons and the daughters that were born of Hagar. It's to the sons and the daughters that were born of the other wife after Sarah died, Keturah. And those descendants are the ones that inhabit the Middle East right now, most of your Arab nations. You see, God's promise of blessing certainly was to the Jews, but through spiritual circumcision of the heart, it is a promise to all. So Jesus came and he said to his parents, Joseph and Mary, "Don't you know I've got to be about my Father's business?" And then he said, "I've got food to eat, disciples, that you don't understand. I don't need the food that you brought in the city. My food is to do the will of the Father who sent me to finish his work." Now what about us as disciples? If you're a father here today, you want a son, you know, that brings blessing to you. Amen? Amen. How many as parents today say, "The most important thing in my life is to see my children knowing Jesus"? How many would lift their hand and say that? "I want my children to know Jesus like I do." I would also ask you this. Do you have a desire to bring others who you know to Jesus also? Because you see, the covenant that Jesus talks about, where he said, "I must be about my Father's business," he now has committed to you and I as disciples. You say, "How do you know that?" Because when Jesus was appearing to his disciples after he rose from the dead, remember, he spoke to them these words. He said, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." Jesus told his disciples that just as much as he was here on earth to do the will of his Father, to carry out the Father's business, when we become followers of Jesus, when we are spiritually circumcised in our heart, we will understand that we have a covenant relationship which is eternal with God the Father through Jesus his Son. And that covenant eternal relationship is to get the message of eternal life through Jesus to those who have never heard. You're not here to come and enjoy the beautiful music of your worship team and to listen as your pastor sings with his lovely voice and plays the drums in rhythm. You're not here to occupy a pew in Bread of Life Church. You are saved to be part of a covenant. And the covenant is handed down to you through Jesus from the Father.
Yes.
And that is a covenant to get the message to those who have never heard. There are many on the plateau who are Chinese friends, neighbors, who never had the chance in China. And even there, while they're here in the United States, some of them are still not having the chance because no one goes to talk to them. You see, there's unreached people in mainland China. There are unreached people in Africa, South America, among the Muslims of the world. But you see, there are those also right around you who are waiting for someone who cares enough to realize that you have an eternal covenant through Jesus Christ to bring salvation and the message of salvation to those who haven't heard. So I commend you this Father's Day. Fathers, just as Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. I know that all of you who have sons would say, oh, I sure hope my son follows in my footsteps. My poor son, Philip, tell you a little bit about him. He's not as tall as I am. But my poor son, Pastor Andy, looks like me. Isn't that too bad?
Very handsome.
You are very kind. If you're not telling the truth, the Lord will hold you accountable. But you see, my son, Philip, there's times when he doesn't mind someone saying, you look just like your dad. But I think there's probably been times in his life and he said, that's the last thing I want to hear is I look like him. Because you see, sometimes sons become in rebellion against fathers. There are sometimes when relationships between fathers and sons are not what they should be. There are sometimes when if a father wants a son to do it, the son will do the opposite. Amen? Any of you sons here today who did the opposite of what your father wanted, raise your hand.
All the time.
I'm not talking about spiritual father either. I'm talking about earthly. How many disobeyed your father and did what he didn't want you to do, did something else? Like maybe being in ministry as a pastor. You think your father would be rejoicing that you're a pastor here today? Your earthly father?
No.
No! Why? What plan did he have for you?
Do money.
Do money la. We say in Malaysia, money la. Lots of la 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 la's in Malaysia. La la la. Huh? Yeah, first and foremost, for many Chinese fathers and mothers is, I want my son, my daughter to be successful. Get lots of money la. Huh? Come on. But you know what? What your earthly father wants, just like in the case of Jesus, who was the first begotten of the sons and daughters of God, is not that we follow after our earthly father's requirements, but that we listen to the heart of our heavenly father. And the heart of our heavenly father conveyed to us through Jesus his son is, I am not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. My heart is that those who have not heard the message of Jesus, who are in countries among people where the religion is not the same, where they march to the beat of a different drum, and that drum is the Islam religion, it's Buddhism, it's Hinduism, it's the various religions of this earth, which do not take people to heaven but take them to hell. You see, if all roads lead to the same place, then we can just fold our hands and just have a nice time. But all roads don't lead to the same place. There is none other name given among men whereby mankind can be saved except the name of Jesus. And even though every day in the Muslim countries of the world, the cry comes out and the prayers go up, there is one God. Allah is his name. And there is one prophet, Muhammad. You and I know there is one God and there is one Savior of mankind in his name of Jesus. And we must listen to the heart of our Father who says, get about my business. Get about my business. Jesus said to his disciples, and I say to you today, as the Father sent Jesus, so he wants to send you. He wants to send you right where you are. He wants to send you to those you work with, to your neighbors. He wants to send you to some who live right close by to you who may be Muslim. And they're here in the USA, and you can go and talk to them here because we have freedom of religion here. Amen? So you have a right to talk to them about Jesus. You see, in Malaysia, my wife and I, missionaries in Malaysia, we're not supposed to talk to Muslims about Jesus. But you know what? Because we have a greater covenant with God, we're going to do what we can to bring them to Jesus in every way we can. Thank you for letting me be with you this Father's Day. A little different approach, a little bit different approach to Father's Day. But hear the words of Jesus one more time. I, Jesus said, must be about my Father's business. And I would ask you as you're here today, as you answer me again to my question, what's your Father's name? I want you to tell me who your spiritual father is, okay? Okay. What's your Father's name?
Abba.
Abba Father. Jesus. My God. My eternal Heavenly Father. What's His business? What's His business? That all might know and might believe. Okay. Let's stand together. As I finish my message, I want to just say one more thing in closing, and I promise I will not prolong this. But God has laid upon my heart to establish in Malaysia, among Christians there, and other places where I go, a covenant. A covenant that all will not enter into unless God speaks to their heart. But let me tell you what the covenant is. This is the covenant that I've made with the Lord because God spoke to my heart to make this covenant. My covenant is that every day I will pray earnestly with fervency for Muslims who have never heard of Jesus. Now, you don't have to pray for Muslims. Maybe it's for the Chinese in your own land or in Taiwan that have not heard. But I would ask you to covenant before God not to just go through the motions, but to begin to let God work through you to intercede and pray for those who have never had a chance to hear of Jesus. That's a covenant we all need to make. My covenant that I encourage people to make in Malaysia has a second part. The second part is that after they covenant to pray, they will covenant to build bridges with Muslims. You say, how do you build bridges? Sometimes the way in which we treat Muslims is, I don't know them, I don't understand them, so I don't like them. And that's true even in Malaysia many times. And God is saying, take time to understand them. Take time to know them. Take time to befriend them. And so the second part of the covenant that I call people to in Malaysia, and I encourage people when they hear the heart of God to enter into, is that they will build bridges with Muslims and with those who have not heard the gospel before. It's good to have Christian brothers and sisters and friends, but you know, if you want that every seat in this church to be full, you've got to start reaching out to those who don't attend church, to those who don't have time for God, to those who come from a background where they've never had a chance to know Jesus. Build bridges to them, brothers and sisters. Build bridges. And then as you build your bridges and God directs you, you know what the Lord is going to do for you when you build bridges with those who have never heard? He's going to establish for you a time by the Holy Spirit when you'll be able to share Jesus with them. You may not do that in the early time of your relationship. The early time, all you're doing is letting them know that you care about them and that you want to be their friend. But when you show that type of an understanding and reach out to them, the time will come when they will want to know about your Jesus. And then you know what's going to happen? Once they know about Jesus a little bit,